Turn in your Bibles to Genesis chapter 2, verse 7. Genesis chapter 2, verse 7. Again, you know what preacher asked me to preach the message and told me that just pick something that was on my heart. I started praying about it and asking the Lord what he would have me to preach about. And I was thinking about different things, and I thought, you know, this is Missions Month, and I'm a missionary. So when I come in to preach, I'd probably preach on missions, right? But God laid something else on my heart, and he laid this message on my heart because this message is personal to me. And I'll be honest with you, when I get to the end of this message, I struggle a little bit bringing this message out. So I want you to pray for me that I get through it. But this message is a little bit personal to me, and when I tell the message, you'll understand a little bit more about why it's personal to me and how it could be personal to you. And so I just ask you, if you go ahead and stand. I'm ringing, Brother Dunning. Oh, that's not me. Oh. Okay. Genesis 2:7. Let me get my glasses on. Yes, I am almost 50 now, so I have to wear these. I found out that if you put these on, you can actually really see stuff. Amen. Genesis 2:7. And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. Let's pray. Our dear Lord, just thank you for the opportunity, Lord, to be here. Thank you for the opportunity to be a servant for you, Lord. Thank you for the salvation that you've given me and the very breath of life to be alive, Lord. Lord, I just so much just want to serve you, Lord, and just want to honor you and glorify you, Lord, and that you would be pleased with us, Lord. And Lord, we're just so thankful for the opportunity to serve you. And Lord, I just thank you for the opportunity to preach. Thank you that, Lord, you gave us another chance, Lord, even though we knew that we were sinners, and Lord, we were condemned to hell. You gave us the opportunity to be saved. Not only saved us from hell, Lord, but allowed us to serve and to serve in your ministry and see souls saved, Lord. And it was such a blessing. And Lord, we just thank you for this opportunity to be here. Thank you for these people. Lord, thank you for the faithful commitment that they make to missions and missionaries, Lord. And Lord, I just ask you to be with them in their commitment forms that they're filling out for their faith promise, Lord. And I just ask you just to be with us, Lord, and just please, Lord, just use me and speak through me and allow this message to touch somebody's heart, Lord. And I just love you and thank you for everything. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. My message tonight, I'm going to talk about a few things. And the things I want to talk about is I want to talk about our Creator, our friends, our Savior, our adversary, and our testimony. Five things that we have in our life that can help us, hinder us, show who we are, show what we're about, and show who we really serve. And in that message, the first one, you know, the Lord God formed man out of the dust of the ground. God loved us, and God started by forming us from the dust of the earth. He breathed the very breath of life in us to give us life. And that right there at the beginning of the Bible tells you right there that God created us. And God is our creator. He's the God of all. He is an awesome God. And we need to realize and understand who God is. We're not God. God is God. And we need to love him and honor him and understand who he is and what he is. And in Luke 6:38, it says, "Give and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down and shaken together and running over shall men give unto your bosom. For with the same measure you meet, withal it shall be measured to you again." A lot of people think about that as money. which you could think about as money. But when I think about that verse right there, I think about giving to God. For all God has given me, what do I have that I can give Him? The God of the universe that created everything in the whole world, the God that hangs the moon and the stars and the sun and has everything in order and doesn't need anything, why would He take somebody like me and use me to go out into the world to reach somebody else? Why does He want me? And what does He want from me? And not only what does He want from me, but what do I have to give? I'm nobody. I'm a sinner. I should have been condemned to hell, but God had mercy on me, and He gave me grace, and He gave me salvation. And He allowed me not to be in hell. And, yeah, I told you this is going to kind of be hard for me, but when I was young, I say young because I'm older now, but I was probably about Brother Luna's age, in my 30s. And it was a Saturday afternoon, and I talked to my dad on the phone. My dad's 64 years old. My dad went to work every day. He was fine. And I talked to him on a Saturday. And then when I hung up the phone, I went to church on Sunday. And I came home that Sunday. And this was actually right after I'd surrendered to preach. And I knew it was an exciting time for me that I'd given myself to the Lord and said, "Lord, I don't know where You want me to go. I don't know what You want me to do, but I know I want to serve You, Lord, and I'm giving myself to You, and I'm all excited because You're young, you know, You got that zeal, you know, and I'm all excited, you know, what's God have for me?" I went home from church that day, and my sister called me on the phone, and I was like, "Well, my sister, I lived in Texas. My sister lives in Kentucky." Sorry, I lived in Ohio, not Texas. Lived in Ohio, but my sister lived in Kentucky. And I was a few hours away from my sister. So for my sister to call me on a Sunday afternoon, just out of the blue like that, I knew something, you know, something was up. And so I picked up the phone and I answered the phone and I said hello. And my sister said, she's not, you know, "Hey, how you doing?" She didn't say anything. She just blurted out, "I got bad news. Dad passed away." Just like that. Now, I just talked to my dad on Saturday. My dad wasn't sick. He wasn't in the hospital. My dad woke up in the middle of the night, and he walked down the hall to the bathroom and collapsed and died in my bathroom, in the hallway on the way to the bathroom. My mom told me about what happened. And I say that to say this because all that happened to me at a time that I was at a high point. I just said, "Lord, here I am. Use me. What do You have for me?" And here's my answer. Boom, the next day, my dad passes away. And I have to say, when I was younger, I got out of the will of God a little bit. And I ran with a crowd that I should have been witnessing to, but I didn't. And I talked to my pastor and I said, "I want to be a testimony. I want to be a good testimony to these people when I go to my dad's funeral." And I just grabbed up a bunch of tracks and I took about 500 tracks with me. And I went down and I handed out tracts to every person that came through the line at my dad's funeral. And I played softball, and I traveled around, and we played in the world tournament and everything like that. And some of the guys that I played softball with were some of the guys that tried to take me out into the world. And my dad actually coached my softball team that got us started playing softball. And then when we grew older, we kind of went out and did our thing and that. But when my dad had passed away, all these guys that knew my dad from the softball team showed up at his funeral. And I got to hand them a track, and I led two of them to the Lord. Amen. And God used me to be able to reach somebody that I should have reached a long time ago. But not being where I should have been, they went away. And they could have slipped out into eternity, and that could have been on me. But God gave me a second chance to be able to reach these guys. And so, when we were just standing there after everybody had left, it was me, my brother, and my sister were standing at the casket. And my brother, knowing everybody loved my dad was like the most coolest person in the whole world. And we're standing there looking at the casket, and my brother says, "Why did God take Dad? Everybody liked him. He was a good guy. He was only 64 years old. Why did God take Dad?" And my response was, "He served his life for the Lord. I don't know the answer of why he's not here, but I just know that we need to know why God left us here. Not why he took Dad, but why we're still here." Amen. And from that point on, my life began to really change. But I always think about that in my heart. Why does God have us here? And so when I sit here, what do we have to give? Why are we here? And what do we have that we can give to God? Second, I want to talk about friends. James 2:23 says, "And the scripture was fulfilled, which saith, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God." How would you like the God speak from heaven and say, "Brother Winkle, you're my friend"? Wouldn't that be awesome to hear, brother? Amen. You know, God is our friend, and we need to know who our friend is. Like I said, some of these friends will lead you astray. Some friends can keep you where you should be when you're going astray yourself. We need to know who our friends are, and we need to make sure that we know that God is our friend. And yes, God, he'll get on us and he'll chase us when we get out of line, but God loves us. And we need to understand that, and we need to know that God is our friend. And Proverbs 18:24 says, "A man that hath friends must show himself friendly, and there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother." And if you think about that verse, Jesus Christ is our ultimate friend. He is our Savior. He is everything to us. And we need to take our life and put our focus on him first. And we need to follow him and do everything that he says. And he is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. He came. Think about it. I think about it with me. You know, again, who am I? I'm just a sinner, you know. And the God of the universe that created the whole world left heaven and came down and died on the cross so I wouldn't have to go to hell.
Amen.
Now, how cool is that?
That's cool.
You know, the God of this world did that for me. He did that for you. He did that for everybody. He's a loving Savior. He's a great Savior. Where is our relationship with this loving Savior? He's a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. He died for us. What do we have to give to him? Next, I want to talk about the Savior. Luke 19:10, "For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost." John 3:16 and 17 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Why did God come here? He came here to save souls. Why do we come to church? Why do we do bus ministry? Why do we teach children in children's church? Why do we preach from the pulpit? It's for souls. Souls are out there everywhere. And we've got a message that God gave us. And we need to take that message into the world. And we need to give that message. I'll tell my kids when I'm teaching, I teach my teenagers. We stand up and say, God's not going to open up heaven and stick his head out and say, you need to be saved. He's not going to do that. He's already done that once. He's not going to do it again. He was here. He came. He died for us. He gave us an example. He lived the example for us to show us. He left the instruction book to read, to follow, for the example. He did all that for us, but he says, we're his hands and we're his feet. And it's up to us to go out and show people our Savior. Why do people not come to church? Why do people not get saved? Why do people not love the Lord? Maybe it's because we're the only Lord that they see. We're the Jesus that they see. Think about that. How people see us, they think, wow, if this is how Jesus is, I can't see Jesus. The only way I can see Jesus is from this person that says they're a Christian and they are Christ-like. And if that's how Christ is like, do I want that? We are the example. He made an example for us. We received that example. And it's our job to deliver that example to somebody else. And one day, we're going to stand before God. And God's going to show everything to us. All the people that we had the opportunity to witness to. All the people that we had the opportunity to give the gospel to. All the people that went away because we were a turnoff to them and they didn't receive the gospel because maybe we had a bad day, maybe we had a bad attitude, maybe whatever it is that we have. I went to Kroger one day and I had this on my heart. It was bothering me and I was thinking about people that you just come in contact with. Am I going to be accountable to this person if they die and go to hell? Is that going to come back to me? And I think there's a lot of people that I know that I can witness to, but how many people do I just pass by? And you know, we all have that. You know, the Holy Spirit says, go talk to him. Oh, but I got to get to work. Talk to them. Oh, well, I just want to get my groceries and get out of here because I got to get back because the ball game's going to be on and Kentucky's playing tonight. You know? And so one day, this was on my mind, and I went to Kroger, and I had to walk into Kroger and buy something real quick and get out. And I was probably in there less than 5 minutes. But just for curiosity, I said, I'm going to count how many people that I actually look in their eyes and see in that 5 minutes. And I walked in that store, and when the doors opened up and 10 people walked out, you know, you're already at 10. By the time you come in and go down the aisle and pass 3 people to get what you need to get, come back, get to the checkout, and walk out, I passed 57 people in 5 minutes that looked at me in the eye, and I walked right past them. And you think about, that's 5 minutes. 5 minutes of our life. How many people have we passed and walked past and not handed? And, you know, we all have them. You know, it's my prayer card. I have a track in here. I say that. Yeah, I have a track. Praise the Lord, I had a track in my pocket. Amen. We have tracks. In those 50 people, we could have had 50 tracks in our pocket. And gave a message to 50 people. What do we have to give for the Lord? What do we have to give to a soul that's out there that needs to hear the gospel? Next, we want to talk about our adversary. Isaiah 14, 12 and 14. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which didst weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thy heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit upon the mount of the congregation, on the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. Yet thou shalt be brought down to hell, to the sides of the pits. This is God's man right here. This was number one person in heaven. And he decided one day that he wouldn't be God's man anymore. He wanted God to be his man. And that was the choice he made. He went against, and he sat right there with the God of the universe, the creator of all. If he went against the God of the universe, the creator of all, do you think he wants to be our friend? A lot of people say, you know, all the devil, just this and that. You know, well, it's not so bad. Or, you know, it's just the devil. He'll, you know, he's not going to bother me. The devil does not like us. He hates us.
Right.
He wants us to go to hell. When we get saved and he can't take us to hell, he wants us to get so out of the will of God and away from God that we're not burdened about souls.
Yes, sir.
That we walk into Kroger and we pass people. And we don't say it to them, but when we walk past them, if that person dies and goes into eternity, it's almost like us saying, go to hell. You go to hell. We're not saying that abruptly to them, but what is our heart saying to them? You know? And Satan wants to do everything he can to destroy us and destroy the testimony of Christ and to destroy our testimony. 1 Peter 5:8 says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. You notice that in that verse, one thing that always sticks out in that is he doesn't say he's God's adversary. He says he's your adversary.
Right.
Satan wants us because he wants to stop people from getting saved and he wants people to go to hell. And again, where our focus is, where our relationship with Christ is, can be the thing that allows somebody not to go to hell because we gave them the gospel, or our lack of concern or our distractions can cause them to go to hell. And that's, we'll talk about our testimony. 1 Corinthians 1:6 says, even as the testimony of Christ was confirmed into you. And Hebrews 11:5 says, by faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death and was not found because God had translated him before his translation. And he had a testimony that he pleased God. Think about that. Enoch. Enoch pleased God. He walked with God and God said, hey, You don't even have to die. Just come on. Come on up here. You know, because he had a testimony of God. What is a testimony? A testimony is what we really are to God. You know, what people really see when they talk to us. We could say we're a Christian. We could say we love souls. But do we love souls? Do we reach souls with the gospel? Do we soul win? Do we do everything that we can to please God? What do we have to give to God? This is the hard part. I'll read this verse first. In Acts 14:3, long time therefore abode, they spake boldly in the Lord, which gave testimony unto the word of grace, and granted signs and wonders to be done by their hands. The apostles, they had a testimony. Why did they call them Christians? Because they were Christ-like. When they were there, they were preaching and teaching. It wasn't that they were some kind of God. It wasn't that they were anything special. What they were doing, that they were preaching this Christ that they met and that had told them what they should do. And they were following that Christ. And they were given that message that Christ had given. They had a testimony. When people saw them, they knew they were Christians because they were Christ-like. They knew that they had the message from Christ. I want to tell you a quick story about three people. And three people were three people that I know. And they were all guys I went to school with. One of them is David Kidwell. One of them is Darren Ruber. And one of them is Troy Caswell. All three saved. All three went to church. And all three had a testimony. None of the testimonies were the same. Each were different in a certain way. But they were all saved. And they all could have been a great testimony for the Lord. And I'm going to start with David Kidwell. David Kidwell was a great basketball player. David Kidwell was an honor student, National Honor Society, straight A student. He was a basketball player. And in Kentucky, I don't know if you guys love football here, but in Kentucky, we love basketball. Y'all like Longhorns and football. We like horses and basketball. So, but David Kidwell was a star of our basketball team. And our basketball team that year was supposed to go to the state championship. Our basketball team that year was 33-2. We only lost two games. And those two games that we lost to were teams that would be in the same state championship. And David Kidwell, one day, right after the district tournament, we were going to the region to get ready to play in the region tournament. And David Kidwell had a little spat with his girlfriend. And David Kidwell decides, I'm going to be funny. And so at our school, we had the big, tall lockers, and it was a funny thing. What they would do is they would take all the small books and stack the small books on the bottom and then stack the big book on the top. So when somebody would open the door, the big book would fly out and hit him in the head. And so David Kidwell one day decides, I'm mad at my girlfriend and I'm going to go up to the high school and I'm going to set her locker so when she opens up the door, her book's going to come out and hit her in the face. This is a saved Christian boy that had everything lined up for him. He had colleges offering scholarships to him to play basketball, ready to go to play in a region tournament to make it to the state championship. And he goes up to the high school, And being the great guy that he is, he takes three guys with him, all basketball players on the same basketball team. And he says, hey, guys, let's go up to the high school because I'm going to do this. So they go up, small town, our hometown, 2,500. I graduated with 142 people. That was another thing that was so amazing about it. Our school was so small, but our basketball team was so great. And David Kidwell went up to the high school, opened up a window. They climbed through the window, and they went down to set this girl's locker. But what they didn't know was when they opened up the window, they set the alarm off that the school had. The alarm was a silent alarm that was automatically sent to the Kentucky State Police. The Kentucky State Police showed up answering the call to a burglary at Pendleton High School. The Kentucky State Police walked into the school, and here four boys were playing basketball, or four boys from the basketball team in there from the school. They took them, they handcuffed them, and they arrested all four of them for breaking and entering. And you know that David Kidwell never got a scholarship to play basketball. And the three boys that was with him never played basketball again. They spent the regional tournament in jail. That was their testimony of a boy that was saved. Should have been a good testimony and was an example, but he led three other boys with him to jail instead of the state tournament. The next one is Darren Ruber. Darren Ruber is another saved guy that I went to school with. Darren Ruber, he was a saved guy, but he was also a little bit arrogant. And it wasn't that he was a great student, but he was a good guy and everybody knew him. But Darren Ruber was a little bit spoiled because he was an only child, and his dad owned one of the largest farms in the county. And Darren Ruber's dad bought him when he turned 16. Of course, this is back in the 80s, so some of the younger guys don't understand this, but he bought him a black Trans Am with the T-tops in it, the big 400 engine in it. And Darren Ruber was the coolest guy. He had the coolest car in all the county. But he also had a little arrogance in him to where he knew that his daddy bought him that car, and he always showed off, and he always spun out, and he always tried to be cool. And Darren's best friend was Kenny Green. And one night I'm at a basketball game, and it was a Friday night. And as I left the basketball game, we walked out the door, and I remember to this day, Darren Ruber and Kenny Green were standing by the door. And I walked out the door, and I gave them a high five. See you guys school Monday. And I left, and I went home, and the next morning when I woke up, my dad came in and said, hey, did you hear about the accident? And I said, what accident? He said, you know a boy named Darren Ruber. And I said, I do. And he said, well, he was in the car and he was driving fast down a road and there was a boy named Kenny Green that was with him. And they went around the curve and they missed the curve and they hit a tree. And the tree landed on the side of the passenger door. And the car hit so bad that it wrapped the front end of this car all the way around, and the front end and the back end were almost touching. And Darren Ruber walked away from that car without a scratch. Didn't even get hurt. But Kenny Green was sitting in the passenger seat where the tree hit. And Kenny Green died that day. And now every day for the rest of his life, Darren Ruber has to live with, he was the reason that Kenny Green passed away. And Kenny Green was saved. I'm excited for that. But you know, That's another testimony that we have. He had the opportunity to be a good testimony to somebody. He was saved. He went to church every Sunday. But did he go out and show witness to Christ? Was he witnessing for Christ? Or did he put Christ aside and move himself up ahead and get a little pompous and want to show how cool he was, and it cost somebody else their life? And then he had to live with that for the rest of his life. And that's two types of testimonies. And then the last one is a guy named Troy Caswell. This is the hardest one for me to talk about. Troy Caswell was a regular kid. Troy Caswell liked to play basketball. There wasn't anything special about Troy. He was a good kid. You know, he went to church, and, you know, he was a good guy to be around. And one day, on a Sunday afternoon, Troy Caswell was at the church playing basketball. And there was a little kid, about 12 years old, that was walking down the street. And Troy Caswell went up to this kid and said, "Hey, why don't you come over and play basketball with us? We're going to shoot some hoops here." And that little teenage boy, 12 years old, almost a teenager, came over and played basketball with Troy and some of the other guys. And about an hour later, somebody opened up the door at the church, and it was a lady, and she hollered out, and she said, "Hey guys, come on in. It's time for youth group." And Troy Caswell turned to this little kid and said, "Hey, we're going to have youth group tonight. We play basketball, but then we go in and we have our youth group. And why don't you come in and go to youth group?" And that little boy went in that night and accepted Christ as his Savior. And that little boy is me. And as I think about that, all three of these guys were my friends. All three of them had testimonies. I could have been with David Kidwell and went up to that high school to be with him to set that girl's locker. I could have been in the car with Darren Rubert and had my life taken at a young age. But by the grace of God, Troy Caswell was the one that talked to me. And I actually got saved because of the testimony. Not that he was a preacher. Not that he was a missionary. Not that he was anything special. He was just a regular kid that was faithful to the Lord, that went to church, that invited somebody to come and go to church with him. And we think about that. I'm a missionary now. I've had the opportunity to go soul winning and lead a lot of people to the Lord. We have our ministry that we do. We have buses that we've ran, that we've reached people. And there's a guy in Kentucky that has no clue that he was the result of all that. No clue. It's actually funny because I'm on Facebook, and he's not on Facebook, but I saw a picture because his sister and brother are on, and I saw a picture of him the other day. And I was looking at it, and that made me think about, I wonder if he even thinks about that day. Or I wonder if he even realizes that It was me, and this is where I am today. Now, I may have got saved some other time, but you know, that was the time. That was the time God wanted me to be saved. And this young guy had a testimony for the Lord. And he said, I want to be a servant for the Lord. What do I have for the Lord? He had nothing. He had a basketball in his hand. And that was something that he had that I could relate to. And he invited me to come and play basketball. And then he invited me to come to the service. And then I heard God's word. And how many people do we see in our lives every day that we have something, just something that we can talk to them about? Yeah. My favorite thing is to go through the drive-thru and hand tracts out. And I always give them inside our track and ask them if they died today, would they go to heaven? And I always hold that track up. And that's the last thing I do before I drive off. And I say, here's a question for you. You gave me my food. Thank you for that. Now here's something for you. And I give them that question. And I say, do you know this answer? I said, if you don't know, the answer's on the inside. Yeah. It's hard to witness to somebody in the drive-thru. But, you know, we gotta be soul conscious. We gotta think about this, you know, because there are missionaries out there. There are preachers out there. There are missionaries' wives. There are people that could be the next greatest preacher that preaches a great revival. And they're at Kroger, and we walk past them. And then we sit and we say, why is this world the way it is? I wish God would do something. And at the same time, God's saying, I did. I sent you to deliver that message. Did you deliver it? And so I'll close with that. Is I just want us to think about this. That's my mission's message for today, is how I came to be here, how I got to this place that I'm at right now. And I'm so thankful that Troy Caswell took the time to be able to get me that message. And I praise the Lord for it. And as you fill your commitment things out, think about it. Think about how many people are out there. How many people can we reach? How many more people can we reach? How many buses can we buy? How many more buses can we buy? How many more missionaries can we send to the field? What can we do with this right here? What do we have to give God? It may be this. It may be financial. It may be I want to give myself. I want to be a missionary. I want to be a bus driver. I want to be a Sunday school teacher. I want to be this. I want to be what God has me to be.